It's back to Boston for this week's podcast. Christopher O'Reilly here, and as usual on a Boston show, we've got a lot of Boston kids, like the 11-year-old who opens the show. He's pretty much as charming as a kid can be, but get this, he also happens to be quite a good meteorologist. He produces these long-range forecasts on YouTube, and they've proven to be uniformly accurate. And you're going to love the piece that the Brass Trio from Chicago performs. The movement titles are With Wiener Schnitzel and Allegro con molto lasagna. Buon appetito!
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here is our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for such a warm welcome back to our home, New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. You know, whether we're here in Beantown or somewhere on tour, when members of our live audience meet our kids after the show, their questions are almost invariably about how incredibly motivated our kids are. People always ask, what's driving all that hard work? All those hours and hours of practice. Well, having worked with hundreds of young musicians over the course of 300 shows, the reasons are so wonderfully various. Maybe the motivation is because of an inspirational parent, like with the teenage bassist on today's program, whose mom is a member of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Maybe it's because studying music is a key to a performer's happiness, like with the 14-year-old pianist you'll meet today. But sometimes it's just good to be direct and ask. So, Henry, what motivates you?
I have no idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from nearby Somerville, Massachusetts, 11-year-old Henry Ayana. Henry, tell everyone what you and I are going to play.
We'll be playing the Manuel de Falla Spanish dance from La Vida Breve.
Very good. When you're ready, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
10-year-old Henry Ayana from nearby Somerville, Massachusetts, performed Danza Española by Manuel de Falla, arranged by Fritz Krausler. Wow, Henry, I think they liked it. That was extraordinary. You play that piece with a real take-no-prisoners style. I mean, no wonder the Vita is brava, you know, if they're playing like that. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Hey, at only 11, tell everyone what orchestra you're in.
Well, I'm in Boston Philharmonic Youth Orchestra.
Conducted by Ben Zander. And I understand that at age 11, you are the youngest musician to get in that orchestra. Is that true?
Yeah.
Congratulations. You know, most of the players in that orchestra are in their late teens. Weren't you nervous auditioning for their famous conductor, Ben Zander, at such a young age?
I was a little bit, but I guess nerves help me. I play better when I'm nervous.
There you go. Nice. So you've broken the age barrier at the Boston Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, but you're way ahead of your years in other ways. Like, you're a budding meteorologist. How did that begin?
Well, when I was in preschool, I told my parents I liked to look at the clouds and stuff. But when I was 7, I think I really got more interested in it because we had a big winter then. And I got more interested in snow. And now I'm making YouTube videos about the weather. I made a winter forecast.
So you really are a meteorologist. I mean, you're making your own forecasts and stuff, and we can see them on YouTube. Well, this winter in Boston, of course, has been rough. Let's listen to what you had to say on your winter YouTube forecast, posted well before winter started.
Here's the classic nor'easter track, which I think is the most predominant storm track this winter. This is the red area, where blizzards, I think, will happen in well above average snow. Well, not well above average snow, extremely above average snow in this area, and I think this will be the threat zone for this winter. If you live in the red area, I'd be prepared for a heck of a winter. Tons and tons of snow. This is the danger zone this winter.
I think our audience here in Boston knows where the red zone is. You just nailed it, Henry, seriously. So what is it that you find so interesting about meteorology? Is it a lot of different sciences come together, or what is it that makes
it? Well, what I find interesting about meteorology is that it's not a human force. You can't really do anything about it, and it's powerful, and it's beautiful. I think that's why I like it, kind of like why I like music.
Exactly. Same thing. Well, you yourself are a force of nature, Henry. Thank you. Henry Ayana, 11 years old, from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Want to check out Henry's excellent long-range weather forecasts for yourself? Go to fromthetop.org, and you can see great video of him performing on our show as well. Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Up next, the Merritt School of Music Honors Brass Trio from Chicago. We have trumpet player 18-year-old Ricardo Zapata. Adriel Rush Garcia is our 17-year-old trombonist, and playing the French horn, David Sweeney, 18. David, you're a baseball fanatic as well as a French horn aficionado, and there's something you learned from a baseball coach that's been a help to you a lot as a horn player.
Yes, when I was in middle school, I had a baseball coach who would always tell me the phrase, have a 5-second memory, whenever I would strike out when I went up to bat, or I would miss a ground ball or anything like that, and I felt like I had let the team down. He'd always say, think about it for 5 seconds, analyze what went wrong and how you can make it better, and then forget about it so that you don't make more mistakes because of that afterwards. So I've taken that idea and applied it to my horn playing as well. You know, if I'm in the middle of a performance and I miss one little note or something like that, I don't let that then affect the rest of the notes that come after that.
It's a great lesson, especially French horn is such a risky instrument. You have to be able to forget a mistake, move on. And clearly, it's a lesson we can all learn from. Gosh, don't hang on to it until your late 50s and, you know, have all that. I'm sorry. It's okay. Rush, tell everybody what you three are going to perform.
We are going to be performing a piece by Walter Hartley called Tout Pastiche, which includes two parts. The first part is labeled Mit Wiener Schnitzel, and then the second part is labeled Allegro Molto Lasagna. So.
Bon appetit. Stage is yours.
School of Music Honors Brass Trio from Chicago played Walter Hartley's Two Pastiches. These guys are from the Merritt School and they're coached by Tim Reardon.
We're going to spend some time talking with that terrific trumpet player we just heard, one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists, Ricardo Zapata. Wonderful piece. Ricky, we can call you Ricky.
Yes.
Great. Ricky, you took extreme measures not to play the trumpet when you were just starting out.
Yes.
What did you want to play?
I wanted to play the saxophone.
I'm sure you would have been a fine saxophone player. What? So give us the drama that
all
ensued.
Right. So in the fourth grade, I was taken and given the chance to play with all the instruments and see what I wanted to play. I told them I wanted to play the saxophone, and a week went by, and finally they handed me a trumpet. I was very disappointed. For the next few weeks, I complained. I said I couldn't play the trumpet because I had asthma. And so eventually, I just got so sick of playing the trumpet, I brought my mom into it and had her complain to my band director and tell her that there was no way I could play the trumpet, that I had to play the saxophone. I still got stuck with the trumpet.
Just got to get a better grade of excuse letters, I guess. I mean, but Ricky, your involvement in music has been a very important thing to your family, particularly to your brother. Can you talk about that?
Yes, from an early age, my brother got into a lot of trouble, and that eventually led him to prison. My parents have been they've always supported me in my pursuit of music because it was a way to keep me away from that and has led me to do very positive things in my life. And my brother is also very proud of me.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, as are we all. You know, places like the Merritt School are just fantastic communities of kids supporting each other and great faculty.
Yes, it is.
Really treating you like family. It comes across in the performance. Well, your trumpet playing has led you to some very positive places. You were just this last summer in the National Youth Orchestra of the U.S. We met you because we did a show with the orchestra, which was great, David Robertson. I know that tour was amazing, but there was a concert at Carnegie Hall that was particularly memorable for you.
Yes, it was the outreach concert that we did at Carnegie Hall. Underprivileged children from around the New York area were invited to sit in with the orchestra, which was great. It was very fortunate of them to come. I remember as a child, getting to hear the older kids was really big inspiration for me. And so being able to be that person to inspire these younger kids was great.
Being on that stage and having those kids around you, wow, what a great scene.
Yes.
A great thing that you've been doing. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Ricardo Zapata, 18 years old, a trumpet player from Chicago, a member of the Merritt School of Music Honors Brass Trio. Standing center stage now, proudly next to his double bass, is our second of four Boston area performers on today's show. His name is Christopher Lavin, and he's from the Boston suburb of Wayland, Massachusetts. Chris and I will have the pleasure of collaborating on Chanson Triste by Serge Koussevitzky.
Thank you.
Christopher Levin, 15-year-old double bassist from Wayland, Massachusetts, playing Serge Koussevitzky's Chanson Triste. Wonderful playing. You're obviously so clearly at home on a stage like this. Your sound really fills the room, and you can really feel you making the moment.
Thank you.
Just wonderful. My gosh, Chris, you're surrounded by music at home. Give us the rundown, your family.
My mom is the piccolo player in the Boston Symphony. My dad teaches cello, and he's in the Boston Pops Esplanade. And my brother goes to the Eastman School of Music.
What does your brother play?
My brother plays cello, and he's here today, too.
That's right, and he was on our show. His quartet played. Wait, what piece of your dad's, too? Full circle?
Yeah.
So on all fronts, you know, composing, everything, you know, you've got it all going on in that home. So lots of music, but you're not one of those musicians who's overly precious about his hands and fingers. In fact, I've got to say, you play one of the worst sports for your fingers, right?
Yeah. Basketball.
Oh, my God. And you've been playing since you were?
Since I was 5 or 6.
But you go to camps and stuff, too.
Yeah.
How long were you going to basketball camp?
Since, like, 6th grade.
Constant. Serious. So let's see your hands. I mean, they don't look all gnarled and elfin, you know.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of crazy. So it must have been. Anyway, so let's bring your music and your love of basketball together. You get to hang out a lot at Symphony Hall here in Boston because you're on backstage. You get to go a lot. Tell everyone who you met backstage.
In 7th grade, I got to meet Shaquille O'Neal.
Now, what was he doing at Symphony Hall?
He was conducting the Christmas Pops show.
Thank you for not saying conducting in quotes, ironically. No, he was really conducting the orchestra.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I guess, you know, if Shaquille pointed a finger at me, I'd be paying attention, you know? So what happened? So tell us.
Well, my brother and I were hanging out in the musician's lounge, and after the concert, my mom came down and said, "Guys, get your stuff. We're going up to meet Shaq." And they technically weren't allowed to do that because the NBA was like, no, nobody's going to be able to see Shaq. Like, we don't want people to see Shaq. And it's like, okay. But she took us up to the, there's like a little staircase to the, like the guest musician's dressing room. And so she snuck us behind that staircase. And the CEO of the Boston Symphony noticed us standing there. And he took Shaq, and he was like, "Mr. O'Neal, this is Cindy Myers. She's the piccolo. She's the piccolo player in our orchestra. And these are your two kids." And he looked down at me. He's like, "Hey, little man." And he's a big person.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
You've actually played on the stage of Symphony Hall quite a few times yourself. Not basketball, like actual music.
Yeah.
Because you're a member of the Boston Youth Symphony Orchestra. What's it like to sit on the same stage that your mom works on every week?
It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's in itself, like seeing a performance live of the Boston Symphony in Symphony Hall through the seats is amazing by itself. But being able to play on it is, being able to play on the Symphony Hall stage is even more awesome.
We know that. Well, you'll be doing a lot more of that, I'm sure, and on all of the world stages. Christopher, just wonderful playing.
Thank you.
Great being with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Christopher Levin, 15 years old, our bassist from Wayland, Massachusetts.
Our fabulous host, Christopher O'Reilly, along with the renowned cellist Matt Heimovitz, has just released a new album featuring the complete Beethoven sonatas, all recorded on period instruments. It's called Beethoven Period. Find it at oxingalerecords.com.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory, where young artists and teachers are transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from our home, New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Coming up later on in the show, the beautiful Andante from the Rachmaninoff Sonata for Cello and Piano, played by a 16-year-old from Boston.
My name is Anna Larson, and I'm a 14-year-old pianist. I love recording. In fact, I just finished recording my fourth album, which includes all of the Opus 25 Chopin Etudes. This is number 12, nicknamed Ocean Etude, and it means a lot to me. I've struggled through some times of anxiety and depression, and my music has helped me express myself in a way that's healthy and non-destructive. This etude in particular, but all of them, they're basically an emotional roller coaster, and that's helped me so much to express and work through everything that I've gone through. Music is kind of a paradox. It's more intimate and less intimate at the same time. You can share what's deep down inside you, but it's in a different language, so you feel more comfortable than you would expressing yourself with words. But I do use words to express myself as well. For example, I recently made a YouTube video that educates people about self-harm and helps kids like me think of ways they can cope with their struggles without injuring themselves. Last winter, I was feeling badly, and I thought I'd distract myself by learning all of the Chopin Opus 25 Etudes. This was a pivotal moment for me, because I thought playing all of them would be impossible. A couple of months ago, I gave a concert of all the Etudes in Nebraska, and when that final chord rang out, I just wanted to hold it forever. I'm now going to play two of those Chopin Etudes, Opus 25 number 12, which you've been hearing, but before that, the quite difficult number 6, nicknamed Thirds. Wish me luck!
Thank you.
our 14-year-old pianist, Anna Larson, from Needham, Massachusetts. She played two etudes from Chopin, Opus 25, number 6 and thirds, and number 12, The Ocean. Gosh, and I know we weren't supposed to applaud after the 6, but it's just so hard, and you play it, make it so easy. It just was such a wonderful performance. Just
thank
needed,
you so
needed
much.
To clap. Hope you felt the encouragement. That's
yeah,
always helpful.
I definitely did. It helped a lot. Thanks,
yes,
guys.
Yes, thank you. Anna, you mentioned how much you like recording. It's not something that all of us enjoy doing, but you really take to it. We should emphasize how much you've already done, like recorded both books of Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier. That's pretty amazing at any age. But tell everybody your philosophy about editing.
So my philosophy on editing is that I try to do as little editing as possible in my recordings, because while I want my recordings to sound as good as possible, I also want it to be an accurate representation of what I would actually be able to pull off in real life. So I try to make it as authentic as possible by not doing too much editing.
You don't like to make a record, have somebody edit it, and say, gee, maybe I'll play it that well someday. That could happen. No, that's a fantastic philosophy. It's a wonderful philosophy. You're a wonderful pianist, great pianist, but you're a quite talented composer as well. As a matter of fact, your piece, Reflections, just won second place in the Music Teachers National Association composition competition a week or so ago, and I do mean the nationwide competition, so congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Anna, who would you say are your influences as a composer?
Well, to be honest, it depends on the time that I'm composing, because it tends to be that my composing has a lot of influence of the composers I'm working on at the piano at that current time. For example, when I was learning Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, I noticed that my compositions, in turn, started to have a more contrapuntal and complex feel. And so it's definitely that has an influence. And also, I'd say my three main influences just overall, generally, are definitely Bach, since I've played a lot of Bach. Chopin, I've just finished recording the Opus 25 Etude, so Chopin has become more familiar to me too lately. And also Brahms. Brahms is a wonderful composer, I think so.
Yeah, wonderful. Your teachers actually have remarked that your music reminds them a little bit of Mendelssohn, which sounds perfect to me, because you've got the Bach, you know, the reverence for counterpoint, and Bach's, you know, fugues, and the Well-Tempered Clavier, of course, and then the romantic spirit. Mendelssohn was, you know, just honored Bach above all, really resuscitated him in the 19th century. And somewhere in the middle of Brahms and Bach, you've got Mendelssohn.
Yeah.
Well, so let's hear this. We're going to hear a section of Reflections. Tell us about the nature of the whole work.
Okay, so Reflections is a piece I composed over the past summer, and it consists of 8 short movements, and each movement describes a particular point of my life. For example, one movement is called Moving Forward, one of them is Unanswered, one of them is Out of the Woods, and etc. And so the one I'm going to be playing today is called 54 Months and Counting, and for those of you who are curious about the title, it's because the piece is a piece I wrote about my former piano teachers, Tema Blackstone and Hung Quan Chen, and they taught me from the time I was 9 to 14, so it was a total, if you add it all up, to about 54 months, 4.5 years, and those people mean a lot to me, and so I wrote that piece to describe that, because they've really been supportive of me through the thick and the thin. So,
let's hear your wonderful piece.
Thank you.
composer and pianist Anna Larson, 14 years old, from Needham, Massachusetts. She played 54 months and counting from her piece, Reflections.
Podcasts are From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org.
And now, a fine 16-year-old cellist from Boston, Andrew Buhn, will perform the Andante from Rachmaninoff's Sonata for Cello and Piano in G minor. I'll be at the piano. 16-year-old Andrew Bien from Boston performed the beautiful third movement from the Sonata for Cello and Piano by Sergei Rachmaninoff. Andrew studies with Emmanuel Feldman here at the Berlin Conservatory's Prep Division and is one of our Jack Kent Club Young Artists. Well, that's one of the favorite movements we ever get to play on this show, and you really brought your own flavor to it. Just spectacular, Andrew.
Thank you. Really nice playing that with you.
I was surprised to learn about your most intimidating audience. I would have thought it would be this sold-out crowd at Jordan Hall, but not so. Tell everybody.
Well, this crowd is actually very scary.
They are. Scary looking.
It's definitely my top three most nervous performance.
Yeah.
But I would probably say the most scary audience for me is when I play for my friends at school, because when you play for an audience that came to listen to classical music, it's very, not, I wouldn't say easy, but better for a musician because you have to be more technically proficient, more musical. But for when you're playing for an audience that isn't there to listen to classical music, but more required by the teachers, like my friends, you have to try to not put them to sleep. You have to be more flamboyant, more fiery with your type of playing. So if I was playing something like Rachmaninoff, probably all my friends would fall asleep. So I would probably have to play something more more light, more exciting. For example, at my last assembly, I played Viva La Vida by Coldplay.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess that'll do it.
Yeah, so it's a different kind of pressure that you get from performing in front of a friendly audience like my friends. So I would say it's very pressuring, very scary for me to perform.
Yeah. That's okay, that's your scariest musical experience, and I agree, the uninitiated, that's really uncharted waters. Good for you for trying, for bringing them in. What's been your most powerful personal musical experience?
The most powerful experience for me has been actually through From the Top. It's called CEDAW Boston, the Center for Development of Arts Leaders. And I'm part of the community performance series and also a teaching fellowship at the Chittick Elementary School. And through this teaching fellowship, I've been able to work extensively for around one semester with a little boy named Cameron. And when I first started teaching this little boy, he was very introverted, very shy. And if I tell him to do something, he would just do it. He wouldn't say anything. But now he's much more extroverted. We joke around a lot. If I tell him to do something, he always asks me why he should do it. So the relationship has become one with more depth and definitely a more meaningful one. And to be able to see how Cameron improves and how our relationship improves through music, it's been a very powerful, lasting moment for me.
Well, Andrew, I hope that playing for our audience today has been a powerful experience for you. It's been for us as well.
Definitely.
And I know that everyone would love to hear you take us out with another performance. And I also understand, you know, that you come with this, well, like this faux black band-collared tux jacket. Rachmaninoff would definitely approve. But I'm wondering if you're working up a sweat just on the slow movement. This thing is going to be very strenuous. You got anything on under that?
Yeah, I do, actually. Okay. I'll probably take my jacket off when I play.
Okay, great. Okay, good. I want you to be comfortable. Yeah. So take us out with another performance. What's it going to be?
It's going to be the third movement, the final dance movement of Gaspar Cassadó's Cello Suite.
Love that. Great cellist and composer. Great way to end our show today. I want to thank all our great young performers, and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Andrew, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Lauren Queso, John Escobar, and Dan Hallis. Broadcast mix by John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org. And from Emily and Antoine Van Ochtmail, supporting New Futures, which works to help low-income D.C. area youth graduate from community college or certificate programs and become financially self-sufficient. Information is available at newfuturesdc.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And now a little bonus content for you. Oh, loyal podcaster, my break piece from the show. This is Brahms's Intermezzo, Opus 117, No. 2 in B-flat minor.